Welcome to the Oldie Literary Lunch, sponsored by Noble Caledonia, the world experts in small ship cruising.
To business, to business. Our first speaker, our author, is the other Christopher here today, Christopher Lee. Not he of the horror films, but may I just say the present Tories are somewhat of a horror story, but the subject of his book is a Tory, who once voted with the opposition on principle. That would be a position unknown today. Jeremy Corbyn not once voted against his party, but over 40 times. Enough of my maddening rhymes. You've heard enough of me. Welcome our author, Christopher Lee.
My middle name's Keith. I want to tell you something. Carringtons. Peter and I own a Carrington. Dachshunds. They always had Dachshunds. Always Dachshunds. And they've always named them after Tory prime ministers. And we were standing there at the house in Buckinghamshire when Harold walked across the lake. Unlike the real Harold, he thought he could. I'm the real Harold, could have done, of course. And as it went down, the dog went down, this Dachshund went down. He said, we'll have to get another, but we've only got one prime minister left. Anyway, along came the other one, it was a bitch. And they sat for some time, and we were sitting there. And Peter Carrington said to me, you know, you can call a bitch Margaret, but you can't call Margaret a bitch, can you? So they called it Hilda. And I have to tell you that after that, every time I saw Margaret, I had this sort of vision that sort of overtook everything. And it was this lovely browny grey face with a sharp nose and long ears. And I couldn't get rid of that at all. That was Hilda. Anyway, I tell you that because the Carringtons are like that. They're full of surprises. They were full of surprises. They still are, the family. But Peter Carrington, I mean, the whole idea of Carrington himself was 25, nearly 30 years ago when I was asked to do the biography. And it was very difficult because we were talking about different backgrounds. Who was I to start digging into the Carrington private papers? How much should I be shown? And we sat and we talked about different backgrounds. Peter Carrington, he came from a good family in a good manor house. And we went to a dinner party in the house. And the sort of dinner party it was, because this was a Carrington party, was that you walked into the room and you knew who everybody was. And you were pretty sure, or I was pretty sure they didn't know who I was. And this chap sitting next to me said, tell me your background. And everybody stopped and listened. I said, well, I can tell you one thing that my mother told me, and as I was conceived in a sailing barge without engines somewhere off the Whitstable coast, waiting for a change of wind to get us up to the Orwell. Oh, your father was a bargeman, was he? I said, no, my father was away in the army at the time. But he used to get seasick, you see. But that was absolutely true. And then, of course, Carrington's at Bledlow Manor. And I was born in 14A, Berwick Street. Anybody know Soho? Know where the market is? Number 14A. The top two floors are the same today, I'm told. That's why. And so it was bringing this two castes together. And the other thing was that he said, you can't publish it until I'm dead. Which meant I could never say, ah, Lord Carrington, how are you? And then look. And he did that because he said, you must be allowed to write anything you like, and I will never read it. You just write it and then publish it. There you have the beginnings of what the Carrington family was like and what he was like. He sub title of this is An Honourable Man. And I think that's probably quite important. You can't, you know, in 10 minutes tell you all about the book, but you can tell you about an honourable man and what is an honourable man today in politics. I mean, do you get an honourable man in politics today? Of course you do. Of course you do. If you took 13 people who were saying, I'm honourable enough to be Prime Minister, you'd have no problems with that, would you? But then you go back to what an honourable man in terms of Carrington is, was, and then you have to stop, you have to pause. Peter Carrington became an honourable man publicly because he resigned over the Falklands War. The Foreign Office, his Foreign Office, failed to convince the Prime Minister that it was quite likely that we would have to go to war. And therefore, he said, that was my office, I should go. And people said, this is an honourable man, almost as if he shouldn't go, almost as if it was all right for him because he was a nice guy and everybody understood him and liked him, that he shouldn't go. And there were 420 letters that in his archive which said, no, don't go. He was quite right to go. He was an honourable man, but he failed. And this wasn't the first time that he'd offered to resign. In Churchill's government, he offered to resign over Critchell Down, which he got completely and utterly wrong. So he said, well, I should go. And Churchill said, no, you won't. I've just got your Secretary of State. You can't afford two ministers to go. And that is something which I think we ought to consider today. Is in history, we peg people, don't we? We tell everybody that's what we think. They've made their force in history. And when you've got a guy like that, who's, what was his basic character? 5'9", beautifully tailored, very good tailor, good shoes, looked the part, was the part, one of the most generous people you'll wish to meet, never read a brief in his life. You imagine Roy Strong when Carrington became the first chairman of the trustees of the V&A. And Roy Strong wanted to hold a dance in number one, London. And Carrington said, the floor isn't good enough. They will bounce up and down. And Roy Strong had an engineer give him a piece of paper that showed they wouldn't bounce up and down. And also, they wouldn't break. And Carrington said, no, the Queen Mother is at that dance. I'm not going to be known as the first chairman of the V&A that got rid of the Queen Mother in the hole in one, number one London. But it's that sort of thing that you begin to realise that what's in this book, really, is the book about big stories, big jobs. There are people like that, and probably he was among the last of the big beasts. There are people like that who only do big jobs, which is why he had a view of Boris that he had. I just finished, I'll tell you one thing about on the day he died. 9th of July last year, Peter Carrington is lying there, apparently going into a bit of a coma. Boris, if you remember around that time, Boris was about to go, but nobody knew that he'd gone. Peter Carrington couldn't stand Boris. He thought he was using the Foreign Office as an adventure playground to get into number 10. He was Foreign Secretary, if you remember. In came Rupert, Peter Carrington's heir. And he went up and he very quietly sort of shifted his father's shoulder. Hilda, by the way, Hilda was up here waiting with her owner. And he said, Papa, Boris has resigned. And there was nothing. Boris has resigned. And I promise you, suddenly Carrington, who'd been out and going, his eyes opened. he smiled. And as an Aston Villa supporter, I can tell you, I've seen this done before. Up went the arm like that. And down it came. And an hour later, he went into a coma and died. Thank you very much.
For more about the Oldie magazine and the lunches, go to theoldie.co.uk.